Ladies and gentlemen, in my talk, I want to speak about plasma systems. As probably you know, a plasma is a many-body system containing charged particles, in general, of opposite side, and where you have no reference frame where the charge can stick to. Plasma, the concept of plasma is enormous importance for fundamental research as well as for application. I remind you that probably most of the universe is in the plasma state, and also there are important fields like light industry or display technology or material preparation where the plasma plays an important role. In all these circumstances, you will observe patterns as natural ingredients. And I want to give you some examples. For example, everybody has seen lightning, a very exciting pattern, but also long time ago, systematic investigations have been made. And this is the experimental setup of Lichtenberg. More than 200 years ago, he had a plate, a copper disc. He had a resin here, and below the resin plate, there's another copper disc. And then he decorated with a seed, this plate here, the seed he collected in the forest, from the forest in Göttingen. He rubbed the fur with this glass rod, and in lucky circumstances, he could transfer sufficient charge to this plate, and then you could observe a discharge phenomena. And what did you see? What did he see? These famous Lichtenberg figures, probably the first fractal pattern that has been systematically produced in physics or in science. I show you other examples. This is the famous, in principle, the famous setup that has been in any physical laboratory 100 years ago. And by the way, with this device, people found the electron, the elementary particle that has the longest lifetime with rest mass. You see, it's a very simple setup, and you have a voltage supply, and you have a discharge tube. And let's have a look what happens if I do my experiment. I put a voltage to this device by increasing the voltage from here, and you don't see anything in the discharge tube. You increase the voltage, again, nothing to be seen. All of a sudden, you have a jump to a very nice pattern that is a positive column that has a nice periodic pattern. Now, of course, you can analyze this pattern in terms of Fourier transform. And if you plot the square of the amplitude of the fundamental mode, you get this scaling law here. Now I decrease the voltage. You will see this gain. Okay. What you see
what
here...
What are you measuring, actually? Just the light intensity?
I'm just photographing this picture here at the moment.
And you take the light intensity in Fourier transform
that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And by the way, also in the future experiments that I will show you, in most cases, the light intensity is proportional to the current current density distribution, so you have a very nice experimental measure for the current distribution in these devices. And what you see here, there is a nice scaling law. The square of the amplitude scales nicely with the bifurcation parameter. But still today, this bifurcation is not understood. So, though there are many interesting patterns in these plasma systems, I have the impression that in the community of nonlinear dynamics and pattern formation, there has not been attributed enough attention to these patterns that are observed in many circumstances. On this background, I decided to make a selection of patterns that we have observed in our group. Unfortunately, it will be a very large number of pictures, but I want to give you an impression that plasma physics is really an interesting field to look for patterns and to investigate patterns. At the same time, I want to formulate a number of important challenges, at least from the point of view of plasma physics. And this work that I'm going to show could not have been done without many collaborators, and this is just my present group, and these are people which have collaborated with us from outside. And on the right-hand side, you see former collaborators. I highly appreciate the engagement with which all these people were involved in this work. Now, let's come to the investigated systems first. These plasma systems that I have in view are gaseous charge systems that are considered to be low-temperature plasma systems. And they are of planar geometry, and you see one of these systems here. This is a DC system, and it is a quasi one-dimensional system because I'm interested in the patterns in this direction here. So imagine you have a high-ohmy semiconductor, you have a metallic counter-electrode, and edge on edge you have these plates, and you look from the side, and from the side, again, by optical means, you can observe the current density distribution in the discharge space. Next device that I want to discuss is the DC gas discharge system. Here we have a glass plate, a metallic electrode, the discharge space, the high ohmic semiconductor, and the metallic contact on the right-hand side. Again, through this metallic contact electrode, you can observe the patterns with the help of a camera, say the current distribution. There are two parameters in our case that can easily be manipulated. One parameter is the voltage supply, another is the light that I throw onto the semiconductor wafer. And via the internal photo effect, I can change the specific resistivity of this wafer. I want to make two commands. One is just almost this system as a byproduct has been developed to be the fastest infrared converter that exists in the world by powers of 10. Unfortunately, it's too expensive that we do not make much money with this. Another thing is, you observe that optically I can manipulate the semiconductor. So this is a very nice way of an optoelectronic manipulation of possible structures here. This must not be homogeneous illumination. This can, for example, be the pattern of another system. So by this optoelectronically, you can couple different systems and control the patterns, and these are very nice perspectives for the future that can be followed. Next, third experimental system is an AC alternating current discharge system, where you have a dielectricum that is a glass, another dielectrum. Again, here you have the discharge space filled with some kind of gas. You have a metallic electrode on top and another on bottom. And now again, through the metallic electrode, you can observe patterns in the plane of discharge. Okay. Now I want to show you that these gas discharge systems show almost all the principal patterns, the fundamental patterns that you see almost everywhere in pattern formation. But they are realized all in all of these systems. So let's go ahead and start. Sorry. Okay, let's start with a one-dimensional system. So electrode edge on edge, I look from the side and I see this very nice homogeneous distribution. I lower the voltage and I see an instability that we generate a periodic pattern. And of course it is tentative to analyze the amplitude of the fundamental mode of this period pattern, and we see what we expect, that is the square scales linearly with bifurcation parameter, and this is really the Turing bifurcation, and it has been measured very early, long time ago. Similar things can be observed in the DC gas discharge systems. So here we have stripes, and again we have a nice scaling law corresponding to a Turing bifurcation. I go now to the AC system. So I select a certain pattern and show that is in existence for all these three systems. So this is stripes, and maybe these measurements are not so good, but maybe it is also a Turing bifurcation.
What do you mean you select a pattern?
Did I say select?
Yes.
Well, yes, in my talk, I select first of all stripes, later hexagons, and so on. It's not a manipulation of the apparatus.
You have not told us how you get one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, thing is that I have, of course, I have to set these parameters, appropriate parameters, and I cannot go into the details, because my aspect in this part of the talk is to show you all these patterns are there, and there is some universality in this pattern formation properties. Okay, hexagons are there. This is in a DC system, in an AC system, and what else are generic patterns? Spirals. Okay, low. Also, perhaps, well-localized objects.
All bifurcations are continuous?
Not all. For example, this one here, I come to this in a minute, but maybe you can put the question again if I don't answer this in all detail. So this is again the one-dimensional system, and for other parameters you can get well localized objects that we refer to as dissipative solitons. So there is an instability of the homogeneous dark state. There is a well-defined localized object, and instead of becoming larger, this object, there is a destabilization, you get two objects, three, and so on. So this is the sequence of bifurcation, also observed long time ago, that is very similar to what was discussed in the foregoing talk. Now, let's see, here you see the discontinuity, that is your question. Here we measure the total current as a function of applied voltage, and you see for each generation of a filament, there is a jump, a discontinuity in this curve, and jump, 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 and of course there is large hysteresis. Well, this is that I just found recently, one-dimensional system, an AC one-dimensional system. You have again discharge slitted dielectric barriers and outside silver electrodes, and also these people find very well-defined localized objects. Now let's go to two-dimensional systems. Now the DC two-dimensional system. Here you see this is a fundamental area. Here I plot the total characteristic of the device, the current as a function of voltage. And you see there's an increase of current and there's a jump, and then you generate one of these dissipative solitons. Well, remember, in three-dimensional space, these objects are filaments. I refer to, with these pictures here, to the discharge plane. So in this plane, you project the filament onto this plane, then you get a spot. And in this two-dimensional plane, I refer to these objects as dissipative solitons.
So the current is going perpendicular to the screen?
The current is going perpendicular to the screen. Here, electrode, electrode, discharge space, and the current, the main current, is going this way.
It's stationary.
This is stationary, but we have, I will show you later, put the question later, I will show you some results on propagating objects, but only one or two, because I have another goal in this talk. Okay, of course, but they, in various circumstances, you get also propagating objects. Then in the AC system, now maybe it's already boring, I can show you that there are well-localized objects, and they can also propagate, they can do very interesting things. I come to this point later. Now, the question that I was posing before, here, this is in a DC system, a spiral, and maybe to get an impression, I think it's not a very good movie. So in principle, it is the motion, a typical motion of a spiral, and this is a better picture, but I have no movie from this one. Well, then certainly you asked, are there an AC system also spirals? This is an indication of a spiral. But I don't know the names, I'm sorry, but outside from a Chinese group, there will be a poster where you see probably much better spirals. I hope so, at least. So now, these are simple patterns. And I want to compare now these patterns to patterns that are observed in other systems. This is perhaps also a trivial matter, but nevertheless, I think it's always nice to see these pictures. So you have stripes in all kinds of systems. I'm sorry, I had no space to put here the references. So this is gas discharge, chemical solution, fluid, optical system, granular medium, and biological system. We may compare hexagons. Probably most of you know these pictures. But these patterns in gas discharge fit very well to what you see in other systems. And for localized objects, maybe the situation is a more object to a discussion, but nevertheless, there are localized objects here in gas discharge, here in chemical systems, here in hydrodynamic systems, optical system, granular medium, and nerve pulse transmission. And finally,
the last one is time and
yes, space. Yes, but I could also put the space coordinate because it's a propagating object with constant speed. Okay, then also there are spirals. Also these spirals fit very well to other systems, for example, to semiconductors and optical systems. Though, I want to stress already this here, it is a challenge to make a detailed analysis, for example, whether these spirals here or those are really those in optics. There are differences, but nevertheless, on a certain level, we see the same structure. And finally, I had no experiments on fractals, but the fractals in the gas discharge resemble fractals in other systems. Okay. Now, I want to rush through many pictures. I have to apologize for this, but I want to profit from this occasion to give to this audience the impression how rich these patterns, how the variety of patterns in these gas discharge is. I do not want to command them, and mostly we had not the time and the power to investigate them in detail, but they, to our opinion, are a challenge also in this field. First of all, you have seen that we have periodic patterns. These periodic patterns may be stationary, they may travel, and they may oscillate. All this has been observed. They may stationary and traveling patterns you may observe at the same time in your system, so they coexist. Also, stationary and oscillatory patterns may coexist, and also you get these coexistence here. I want to give you two pictures that demonstrate what I wanted to say with this picture. This is the quasi one-dimensional system. So this is the space coordinate that is a time coordinate. Now you can go along here for a fixed time, you go along here. So this is a periodic pattern, and again a periodic pattern. However, if you look for the evolution in time, you will see this is a stationary pattern, but this is a traveling one. The pattern is traveling to the right. This is typical for the system that you can observe the coexistence of such patterns. Another example is the coexistence of an oscillatory pattern with a stationary periodic pattern. These are things you may, maybe you believe this is a hydrodynamic system, but it is a gas discharge system. Let's go to a next picture. This is similar. So this is a nice and interesting defect structure. And also, for example, you observe things like this. Oh. There is a problem. I'm sorry about this. I was checking this before, and well, so you see various. Okay, so I jump and go to the next thing. You may have also a zigzag destabilization, very similar to what you see in hydrodynamics, of a stripe pattern. And well, hopefully this will work. And you can also see, this is your question, propagating objects, these solitary objects that we call dissipative solitons. Now, the question is, was this just Brownian motion, or is there behind this an intrinsic speed? And so we made a relatively sophisticated data analysis, and this together with a group of Friedrich in our department, and then we could find that there is a bifurcation from a stationary object, stationary dissipative soliton, to a traveling one, and the square of the velocity scales linearly with the bifurcation parameter. This is what we also expect from theory, from qualitative theory, that I will come to later. Similar things are observed in AC systems, and here again, pictures are not so nice, but we are convinced that we have zero intrinsic speed, and there's a bifurcation to finite speed in these systems. Now I come to, again, to the solitary object. This is all experiment. So we have two kinds of these objects, with non-oscillatory tails and with oscillatory tails. And these objects with oscillatory tails, they are very interesting because, as you may speculate, they give rise to very interesting interaction properties. Well, one example is a molecule. In this case, the molecule is rotating. So these are pictures taken in the course of time. Rotating molecule. You can also have a translational motion, choosing other parameters, or you may have stationary objects. You may have also in AC systems such molecules. You can have many kinds of patterns, say a crystal, a liquid-like pattern, a gas-like pattern. You may have chains, nets, and for example, here we believe that this is the coexistence of a condensed state with a gaseous state. So we see there is really, based on these dissipated solitons, there is a whole zoo of patterns, and we so far this is not explored, and I think it is a challenge really to work in this field. Then I come to AC systems. For example, this here, this is a gas molecule. You have well-defined molecules consisting like atoms. The dissipative solitons have the function of an atom, and they form molecules, and these molecules have erratic propagation in space. It is like a molecule in a gas. And you have many other patterns based on dissipative solitons. Here a domain structure, and here is a structure where you have dissipative solitons on rings, and we do not know why these rings may move in the same direction, or they may move counterclockwise. So I think I have to stop here and not to bore you with too many of these patterns, but the message is, in various gas discharge systems you find all these patterns, though so there is some kind of universal behavior, at least in this class of patterns, and when you compare with other systems you must say there is some kind of universal behavior also of gas discharge system. And in the community of plasma physics, this is a very fascinating topic. Now, certainly one has to ask for kind of modeling. And modeling, before you start to model, you have to think about time scales. And in principle, we can talk about three kinds of time scales. The straightforward thing would be try to make a kind of molecular dynamic calculation. But this is actually the molecular dynamic calculation for gas discharge is just a peak calculation. But there you have to calculate on the time scale of 10 to minus 13 seconds. Since in our experiment we observe time scales on milliseconds or longer, we are never able to carry out a numerical calculation. Nevertheless, other people work in this field, for example, to calculate mobility and diffusion constants and stuff like this. Then we go to the next level. That is the traveling time of the ion from the anode to the cathode, and the traveling time of the electron. And here you see already also dangerous time constants. You have 10 nanoseconds. And so in general, also this approach, it's clear that you won't have analytical solutions. You must rely on numerical approximations and numerical calculations. And you have little chance to get a full interpretation of your results. However, in special cases, this is possible, as I will show you. And then, interestingly enough, there is a third level on an even longer time scale, and these are reaction diffusion equations. I will come to this point. But before doing so, let's have a look on this diffusion approach. We assume that we have two charge carriers, electrons and ions. So we have a continuity equation for electrons and for ions, and we have the Poisson equation. So we have source terms on the right-hand side, and we have the current density of electrons and ions. So we have expressed them, and here already macroscopic parameters enter that have to be taken from molecular dynamical calculations or peak calculations. So this is the current density, here's the mobility and the diffusion constant, and correspondingly for the ion charge transport by ions. And you have the source terms and so on. In principle, you really know by number the parameters here, except one parameter, that is the Townsend coefficient. The Townsend coefficient, that is the coefficient that describes how many electrons are released from the cathode when the ion bumps into the cathode. This is not known for our systems, but we can determine this from the breakdown voltage that we can measure in these systems, and then we have no parameters anymore that have to be fitted.
Well, so, where is that?
I'm sorry?
Where is the Townsend coefficient?
The Townsend coefficient, this is, let me see, where is the gamma? This is, if you see, it must be creation rate, realization rate.
Ionization rate.
It doesn't appear here, because this is the set of equations for the gas. Maybe I have taken this out. The Townsend coefficient comes into play in the boundary condition. You have the high ohmic material. You write down simple equations for this. You have the boundary condition for this problem here, and there this Townsend coefficient enters. I left out these pictures not to show everything. So we tried, in a lucky case, we had an experimental situation that is a lucky case in the AC situation, where after, say, 10 or 20 breakdowns, we have already a pattern. What does it mean after 10 breakdowns? The frequency is of order of 10 to 5 cycles per second. That means in the order of 10 to minus 4, we have a phenomena. And this can be tackled by the drift diffusion approximation. And this has been done together with a group from the CNRS in Toulouse. And I first want to show the experimental results. So what we observe experimentally, we take a snapshot for the second breakdown, the third breakdown, the fifth breakdown, and here the tenth breakdown. So you see the evolution of a pattern, and now I go back and we compare this now with what we get in our numerical simulations. And at least semi-quantitatively, after the second breakdown, we started with homogeneous initial conditions. You see already a ring, you see more rings, which corresponds to this situation. And finally, you see a pattern consisting of spots in good agreement with the calculation. So in lucky circumstances, this works. Now, there is another approach that we have started a long time ago, say 15 years ago, using a three-component reaction diffusion equation. And this is as follows. You imagine your one-dimensional gas discharge system. You have a high ohmic layer, you have a discharge area here, the gas. And now you imagine that you have a compartment here, and the electrical behavior of this compartment locally you want to describe by an electronic equivalent circuit. And we have done this. This is a very rough approximation, and many people have criticized this, but we could make predictions. And all the patterns, the fundamental patterns, including molecule formation, traveling of spots, and so on, could be described by the equation. So they must make some sense. So the argument here is as follows. So R is a resistance corresponding to the resistance here in the high ohmic material. We believe that there's a capacity here that is C We believe that there is a gas, of course, that has a nonlinear characteristic that is known, that is of this kind. The current voltage characteristic is qualitatively of this kind. And we also think that there is some current density relaxation time, and this relaxation time is taken into account by introducing an effective inductivity, specific inductivity. So this is the local picture. Now we want to couple the system. We couple these segments here. And this is, of course, a resistive coupling here. And you can see this in the next picture. Forget about this at the moment. We have the local equivalent circuit. And now we have the coupling through these resistors. Then we can come up with the set of equations that are written in black here. In these equations, after normalization, having made the transition to the continuum, we come up with this set of reaction diffusion equations where U is the current density in the discharge slit, where V is a voltage drop at the high ohmic layer, and where W is something that is not so well known at the moment. We have some speculations. I can discuss this later if you like. Nevertheless, this is a rather, well, then F of U, that is a nonlinear characteristic of the gas. And we have some relaxation time. So this is a current relaxation time normalized to 1. Here you have the voltage relaxation time, and this is something else. So in principle, also, these equations may contain an integral term that also has been written down long, long time ago. And so we can get some global coupling. This is due to the series resistor in the I haven't written down the series resistor here. In general, here in this circuit, you have an addition resistor, and this introduces in the reaction diffusion equation an integral term. So, what about these equations? These equations have, for example, most of the solutions that were discussed in the foregoing talk. Solitary objects, traveling solitary objects, molecules, traveling molecules, rotating molecules. We have found all this as numerical solutions of these equations. So we believe that these are a kind of normal form, and they are, to some extent, they are the most simple thing you can write down. Because here, in all our calculations, we assume just a cubic polynomial, and that is the only nonlinearity in this model. Let us summarize some important features. Relatively simple structure. We can introduce the concept of activated inhibitor. That is very nice to try really to understand what you are doing. So the current density is something like an activator, and the voltage drop is an inhibitor, and the third variable also. Then we could reconstruct most of the solutions we find in the experiment qualitatively. And on the other hand, we could make predictions. For example, we made a prediction for us that the oscillatory behavior of the filaments or the dissipative solitons are responsible for these interaction phenomena, for the formation of molecules. And finally, we could find these oscillations and find also the locking in distances these molecules. Okay, and very important, we can get insight, because they are relatively simple, these equations, insight in mechanism. Understanding mechanism is the basis for understanding patterns from our point of view. And another aspect, since we have reaction diffusion equations, we can now make the bridge to other fields, chemical systems, biological systems. So this universal behavior of different gas discharge systems can be extended to a very large class of systems. And we think this is rather exciting. Well, I just want to show you at least two pictures for results of numerical solutions. This is a numerical calculation of a dissipative soliton with oscillatory tails. And this is the numerical solution for a rotating molecule. Okay, certainly there is a natural requirement. You are right saying, for quantitative description, your equivalent circuit picture is not good enough. So try to get reaction diffusion equations from the drift diffusion equation. So this would give a theoretical fundament for this kind of universality. And Dr. Amiranashvili in our working group has done the first step. And the first step is that he was treating the full drift diffusion equations and near to the breakdown point in gaseous charge. And here he could already derive a reaction diffusion equation which is not useful for describing localized patterns, for example. But this is the first very encouraging step to get the reaction diffusion equation from the drift diffusion equation and get a simple equation that you can work with, get some intuition how the mechanisms work. Okay, I think I am now near to the end of my talk, and I want to try to summarize and draw some conclusions. I'm sorry about that I could not give you details on the dissipative soliton business. For example, for these objects we have derived particle equations near to the point of from the stationary to the traveling dissipative soliton. We could derive a particle concept that is very useful if you want to calculate properties of the many-body system. So all these details I could not mention here, but I'm happy if somebody asked questions to discuss this later. So, but instead, the emphasis was there are plasma systems. I wanted to tell you they have very interesting patterns that should be investigated. That is a challenge to investigate such patterns in detail. So what I was doing here, I was convincing you, hopefully, that very different gas discharge, low temperature systems exhibit the fundamental patterns. They exhibit their dynamics. And in a sense, they exhibit universal behavior. There is a large variety of patterns, in particular many-body systems consisting of dissipative solitons. In gaseous charge, the concept of dissipative soliton is a nice one because these objects are relatively robust with respect to interaction. So in the molecule, for example, to a large extent, they retain the individuality. And this is just what you expect from a particle that you allow it also to interact. Okay, so this is, and investigate phase transitions in these systems. I think this is a rather interesting question. Then this very strange effect of that these dissipative solitons form chains or they form grids. I don't know how to understand this. But this is not an effect of preparation of the electrodes. You may always ask, is your space in which you see these patterns sufficiently homogeneous? We believe it is, because next time we switch on the chain pattern, it will appear somewhere else. There are still chains, but maybe in this direction. Okay, then I didn't mention this point, and as some certain circumstances, these dissipated solitons may have internal degrees of freedom. They may breathe, or they may vibrate. And it might be also an interesting question, perhaps to apply group theoretical methods for molecules, because by symmetry you can make an analysis of possible vibrations. And you have seen there are all kinds of defect structures that may be a challenge too. Then there is the challenge of understanding, perhaps for us, the most important challenge. So I was not saying this explicitly, but we in our group have the point of view of nonlinear dynamics and pattern formation. And from this point of view, certainly we cannot come along without knowing the physics of the plasma, and the plasma physicists will tell us. So they tell us there are PIC models, there are drift diffusion models, and what we added, there are reaction diffusion approaches. And to carry out this program here further, I think this is also an interesting challenge. And the result of this, we believe, will be a deep understanding of plasma systems, but because of the universality, probably we will understand a lot about self-organization in nonlinear dissipative systems in general. So, in general means we have the bridge to chemical systems, to biological systems. It's trivial, we have also the bridge, of course, to semiconductor systems. And so we have some bridge actually to universality. There are other challenges that are of particular importance for the world of plasma physics. In environmental protection, you have discharge to purify gas. And in all these circumstances, you have patterns. Whether you want or not, they are there. If you understand the patterns, you have a better understanding of these devices. The same is true for light technology. All these tubes here, if you look in detail, they exhibit patterns. And they are intrinsically related to the operation of these devices. So you will understand more about this. You will understand about welding and cutting. In many cases, everybody knows that it's trivial. We have explored in physics the linear world, and there are a lot of interesting devices, and you want to control them that they are not destabilized. So you control, for example, you don't want to have cathode spots. In high current gas discharge, you get cathode spots, but we can interpret them as dissipative solitons. A concentration of current that may damage your electrodes. Then you may have oscillations in these tubes. You don't want to have this. And in display technology, that was very interesting. When we worked together with a group in Toulouse, these people are working in the theoretical point of view to improve plasma devices. For TV screen, plasma TV screen. It was a company, Thomson, that they worked together with. And then the Thomson people came to the Toulouse people and said, oh, we have a terrible thing. In our pixels, we get filaments. And it was very nice that Mr. Boeuf could tell these people, oh, that is where the people in Münster live from. It is just the same physical conditions where we are interested in patterns and people in this plasma display business, they want to avoid these patterns. I was talking about the infrared converter, but I must admit that we have, of course, problems also in this field. And these are technical problems, for example, with the electrodes. I think we have to start a new level of sophistication to prepare electrodes in a reproducible manner and to analyze the electrodes. And also we have problems with timescales in bad cases. Even the reaction diffusion approximation may fail because the time constants are too short and the observed phenomena too slow. Okay, and now let us come to at the end of this talk. Maybe it is allowed to carry out some real speculations. You may, for example, use self-organized patterns for material preparation. We have seen we have a discharge, for example, in form of a hexagonal pattern. So we may just drive the parameter to the point where you have hexagonal patterns, just switch on, and then the whole field may be etched in hexagonal pattern. Also, manipulation and control of optoelectronic devices may be an interesting field, and in the long run, this may give some hope to get some knowledge about information technology. Then, as I told you already, it is very interesting to couple our systems because we have very nice control possibilities via the optoelectronic techniques. Another example are these many-body systems based on self-organized dissipative structures. And finally, it may turn out that just as everybody hopes, that by doing this kind of fundamental research, you may have unexpected results. And one of these unexpected things, it is the last two pictures in this talk here, are the Voronoi diagrams. So these are self-organized filaments in an AC system. And these filaments here, you see, they have discharge traces in the surrounding, but there's a well-defined separation between these areas that correspond to different filaments. And you can draw by self-organized techniques, you get a Voronoi diagram. Here, these are self-organized filaments. You could also introduce an additional layer in the gas discharge space, then generating predefined filaments, and then by a predefined arrangement of spots, you generate the corresponding Voronoi diagrams. This is just very nice, but strange things come out when you do this kind of research. So I think I come now really to the end of this talk. You have hopefully seen that plasma systems, at least in the form of low temperature gas discharge systems in planar geometry, exhibit very interesting patterns. At the same time, this fundamental insight that is allowed in relation to these patterns is very near to practical application, because we operate with parameters that are very near to those that are used in technical devices. So I thank you very much for your attention.
Questions? High frequency discharge. Nobody observed patterns. What is the reason? Discharge of magnets.
Well, excuse me. So in principle, we have here high frequency discharge. But what do you mean by high frequency?
It's frequency of order 10 megahertz. Exciting for the night class. Was never observed any.
I mean, I think since long time, for example, Buss made experiments in in barrier discharge systems, and it already in 32, by operating this device with pulses, by just photographing, he could see objects that we probably refer to streamers or micro discharge today. And I could show you a picture if you. Yeah, I mean, what is the difference? I mean, in general, the plasma reacts so fast that, for example, for these frequency in the 100 kilohertz region, you have a switch and of the whole property in the discharge. So you charge in an AC system, you charge the electrodes, and within, say, 10 to minus 5 seconds, this charge is reversed. Charging of the electrodes. So,
maybe the benchmark here is the plasma frequency. So you have to compare your voltage frequency with the plasma frequency, and then probably into limits, you have quite different behavior.
I mean, if you go to very high frequencies, I really don't know what happens. Yeah, I mean the experiment that I was talking to you is was of the order of 0.1 microseconds pulses. So so there already patterns are observed actually.
Right. Could you comment please about on the degree to which global coupling enters into the experimental results, your opinion about that, and to the extent to which you put it into the to the model?
Can you put this question again? You are talking about the reaction diffusion equation, or what?
There should be some global coupling even in the physical device. Is it negligible or is it important?
No, it is important.
And you put it in the. Okay.
Yeah, I think physically it is absolutely clear, because. The global coupling comes into play because you have a series resistor in your supply voltage. This means you make a current limitation to some extent. And current limitation means I cannot just produce numbers of filaments. In the case I have not this resistor, I can have any kind of number of filaments, except they don't touch each other.
How is that reflected? I think the question was, how is that reflected in the model?
Yeah.
Well, he has a term in there, but he didn't
you see it.
I mean,
where's their global?
It's I, where I is an integral over zero.
Oh, I guess I went by that.
I think it was in.
It
works.
Yeah, oh, no, not that.
In the reaction diffusion equation.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
The IN?
Yes.
Okay, so here it is the IN. Yeah, this is just this integral term here that is an integral over the current density, and here you enter with the series resistors of your voltage source.
But you could leave out the series resistor experimentally if you wanted?
No, but I mean, in principle, that means you have an ideal voltage source. It doesn't exist, and for us, we have no ideal voltage source. It's even if you take if you're a theorist, you allow me to say this. If you'd take any voltage source that you buy, there is an internal resistance, effectively.
So that's where it comes
from.
You showed a diagram of a sequence of 1, 2, 3 streamers and then going back, I think, to a maximum of 9 or so. Could you explain a little bit more how that experiment's conducted?
You mean in a one-dimension?
In a sort of bifurcation diagram where you is back a little bit from there. In the light of the last talk this morning, you had sequences of 1, 2.
Yeah, okay. sorry. Now,
yeah.
You mean this diagram?
Yeah.
So maybe I try to repeat. You have your discharge system. You go up with voltage. And then you press more and more current through your system. And there's an instability. So in principle, in the beginning, if you start here at voltage zero, then there is all very, very low current density, negligible on this scale here. And then you get an instability that is just the formation of one filament. But in this experiment, you need a series resistor. And so you press more current through the system, there is another isolated object, and so on. And this is really typical for these systems, as you have seen also in the two-dimensional case. And the nice thing is, really, these objects are the same in size.
So the series resistor is important in this experiment.
In this experiment, it is
so
important. You're right.
It's a global coupling then,
which
limits the number of filaments.
Yeah.
But you also have the resistance of the semiconductor plate.
This is quite another matter. That is a distributed resistor, and you cannot just talk in terms of a local electronic component, because in principle the current can be distributed, the voltage drop can be distributed, and the important thing is here for the high ohmic electrodes that you can have a voltage drop from left to right. You have not got this in a normal discharge with metallic electrodes. And this helps you to generate something else here than there. For example, to get a filament here and no filament there. Because you need some possibility. No, you don't want to have a shortcut.
Could
you reproduce this with the reaction diffusion system?
Yes.
This.
Yeah, no problem.
Except that you need that K2. Capital term.
Yeah, and but I have to admit only qualitatively, because it was a very qualitative model, and unfortunately I must say this, it may be parameters that generate theoretically this better, maybe a factor of 50 wrong, but nevertheless this model was able to predict things, and then we saw what the predictions could be found in the experiment. And if you don't know anything about what's going on, this is very useful.
Okay, last question.
Yes. When you show the single filament moving, the image show a very random motion. Where does the randomness comes from?
You see, this is a terrible question. Because noise, you get noise from everywhere. You get noise, you have finite temperature in this experiment. I think it was sometimes room temperature. This was room temperature. No, it was 90 degrees. But anyway, you have just temperature noise. You have noise from the voltage supply. You have the movement, the thermal movement in the gas. So this question is an interesting one, but it's extremely hard to analyze where this noise comes from.
And you don't get it in the reaction diffusion,
but there's
no noise.
You need noise for carrying out the numerical calculations. It's, for example, to get away from an unstable stationary state. But we have, and this noise is sufficient to really get. It is sufficient to get away from these unstable stationary states. And that's it.
Okay, let's break the tea and thank the speaker.